Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Whoa, glory to God. Book of Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and Hebrews, probably two of my favorite books in the New Testament, along with Galatians and Romans and 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation, James, Peter, Thessalonians, Timothy, Philemon, along with those books, you know, hallelujah. Love them, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, and Sunday morning we were talking about keeping your spirit man strong. And I'm going to keep talking about that tonight and share some more with you about that. And then Sunday morning, we'll be talking about whatever the Lord has to talk about, but probably about the resurrection. Praise God for the resurrection. Yes. Hallelujah. Without the resurrection, we're doomed, man. I'm telling you. You know, there are some theologians that don't believe in the resurrection. They're not even saved. Can't be. The Bible says you got to believe that Jesus rose from the dead to be saved. You don't believe in the resurrection, I don't know what you are, but you're not saved. You may be a theologian in a Bible school, but you're not saved. Not yet. Not until you believe in the resurrection. Amen. Glory to God. Like Paul said, you know, King Agrippa, why should you think it's a big thing that God should raise the dead? If he's God and he can't raise the dead, you don't get to be God. I think if you're God, you should be able to do some things people can't do. Right? So much of the church wants to relegate God on a human level where, you know, us humans can do just about as much as he can do. I don't think so. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2:3. You there? Yeah. Praise God, everybody. All right, now, we talked about this. You know, our foundation scripture was Proverbs 24:10, where the Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So it's not the adversity that's causing you to faint, although you might think it is. It's actually your strength, right? If you're strong enough, nothing's going to cause you to fall, amen, or be overcome because you got the strength in you, amen. Praise God. So that's our foundation scripture. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, let's go here to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13 of Ephesians 3. Paul said, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Remember, if you faint in the day of adversity, what's your problem? What's your problem? Your strength's small. See, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And he says, and he's talking to the church here at Ephesus. He says, "I, this is my desire. I don't want you to faint at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory." In other words, Paul said, I'm going through some tribulations for you. I mean, I'm being attacked because I'm ministering to you. And so that's his, and he said, I don't want you to faint over that. In other words, I don't want you to lose heart and faint because I'm going through some trouble on your behalf. I don't want you to faint. So what is Paul's issue here that he's trying to deal with? He's trying to deal with the issue of the Ephesian church fainting. Amen? And so he says, I don't want you to faint because I'm going through some trouble. Now, why that caused them to faint? You know, it's Paul's going through the trouble, not them. But, you know, maybe it's because they felt like if Paul went through that, what's going to happen to us? You know? Amen. And you know how it is. I mean, you hear of other Christians being attacked. You can think, oh, my gosh, am I next? You know what I'm saying? So Paul said, I don't want you to faint. For my tribulation. And he says, for this cause, because I don't want you to faint, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he knew where to go, didn't he? Yeah. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So Paul said, because I don't want you to faint, I'm going to God, and I'm asking that you'd be strengthened with, the King James uses the word might. It's the word dunamis, which means power, explosive power, miracle power. I want you to be strengthened with that in your inner man. Now, that, you know, that's your spirit man, right? We talked about that, I think we did Sunday morning, about how, you know, there's an outer man, there's the inner man, right? The inner man is the man on the inside, which is really the real you, right? I mean, that's the when we say that's the real you, what I mean by that is that's your center, that's your core, that's what makes you you. Your body's you, I understand that, but the real you is on the inside. Amen. And so Paul said, I want you to be strengthened with might, with power, by God's Spirit in your inner man. What is he saying? He's saying, I want you to have a strong spirit. So you don't faint. So you don't faint. So without a strong spirit, we're going to faint. We shall reap if we faint not, if we have a strong spirit. So it's vital that we have a strong spirit man. I said it's vital. And the sad thing about it is most people, but a lot of people that go to church don't get their inner man fed the Word of God. But when you're fed the Word of God, Paul said it produces something called faith. And that's a powerful thing. That's a force, see? And so I'm not so much, now, listen to me. God anoints people, people minister, they got different deliveries, you got preachers, you got teachers, you got all that. I'm not all concerned about all that. I'm not all concerned if you can preach like John Hagee or you teach like somebody else. That's not what I'm concerned about. What I want to know is, am I getting fed the Word of God? Now, I've been in churches before. If you just said it loud enough, it didn't matter what you said, they'd shout. You could say, Mary had a little lamb. You said it with enough vim, vigor, and vitality. Everybody goes, I know that's right. Well, it is right. Mary did have a little lamb. I don't know about that part. His fleece is white as snow. He probably got dirty sometimes. But anyway. You follow what I'm saying? See, I just screw up this way is around a lot of churches, man. And I've seen a lot of things, you know. And I'm thinking, now wait a minute, you people are shouting and this is not even true. All right? So I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned whether you're a preacher, you're a teacher, you're polished, your homiletics are perfect. You know, there's homiletics, the art of preaching, which they teach you, the art of preaching. And there's a place for it as long as you don't let it dominate you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not concerned about homiletics. You got your 3 points and your scriptures and all that. I'm not concerned. Your intro, your exit. You know, some people got their intro. Some people don't have their exit yet. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? I'm not concerned about that. I want to know, am I being fed the Word of God? Is what you're feeding me, is it refreshing me, renewing me, strengthening me, putting something in me? Right. Amen. Now, so Paul prayed that they'd be strengthened with might, with power, with dynamis in their inner man. So he's saying what I've been saying to you. You got to have a strong spirit. I don't want you to faint. And therefore, I'm praying for you that you have a strong spirit. That's what he's saying. But here's something that's really interesting. We won't read the whole prayer. He prays some other things for them, you know, that they would be rooted and grounded in love and Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith and so forth. But he comes on down, and in verse 20, I want you to see this, verse 20, he says, now unto him that's able, well, that's God, right? God's able to do exceeding abundantly. These are good words. Above all that we ask or think. Now, how many can be a big thinker or a big asker? But God's able to do above that. Amen. But notice this, it's according to something. It's according to something, isn't it? Now, God's able to do it, right? Says God's able. But it's according to something. What's it according to? The power. What? The power, not just the power that's in us, but the power that's working in us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now listen now. What power is he talking about? Come on, are you with me tonight? Amen. What power is he talking about? Well, I don't know, Pastor. Well, let me help you. The power he's talking about. The word power here, you know what the word power here is? It's the same word, dunamis, miracle-working power. What power is he talking about? Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. You see, one place, the King James says power. One place, it says might. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word. One place, they decided to translate it might. One place, they decided to translate it power. Neither one of those is wrong. It's both might, it's power. But I'm just making a point. What is God's able to do exceeding abundantly according to the power that works in us? What power? The power that you're strengthened with in your inner man. So just to take that statement and make it a blanket statement and say, well, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, yes, that's true, but you don't have the whole thing. It's according to the power that works in you. Well, what? Well, okay, it's according to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's in me. Spirit of God's inside. Well, that's true, but it's what's working in you. Yeah. In other words, Paul's prayed that they'd have the power working inside of them. They'd be strengthened with might. They'd be strengthened with power. And God is able to do more for a person with a strong spirit than a weak spirit. There's more power that can flow. It's not a matter of, you know, God withholding. It's a matter of what's working. Amen. You know, there's 120 or 220. 220 is more powerful. I've been shocked with 120 more than once. I survived it. I don't want to try 220. I don't know. I don't know what would happen. I don't want to find out. I know one time me and another guy went to, this was before I was a Christian, and I was working for a heating and air company, and they did plumbing too, and I was working for them, and me and a guy went to change electric water heater element. And so, you know, he did something he shouldn't have done. I knew better than that. He should have known better than that. Asked the lady, said, flip the breaker on this, will you? The lady of the house, and I'm not making, and this isn't a swipe at ladies, because a lot of men are dumber than women about these things. I got news for you. Listen now, I got news for you. I've seen some women finish drywall. I'd much rather have them finish my drywall than some man. Yes, I've seen them do a better job. So this isn't a swipe at a woman, but I mean, is the lady of the house, he says, flip that breaker on that. It's a 220 water heater. He said, flip the breaker on it. And he looks at me, he says, you know, I think I'm going to check that out. So he puts a screwdriver on one of the screws on the element, another one on the other, and crosses it, and bam! We had some power. Man, she come running there, she thought we'd all died. Like, I'll go get the breaker, man. There's some power still in there. Hallelujah. And if we'd have grabbed that, well, we might not be here today preaching to you. We might have been in hell because I wasn't saved. But my point is this. Paul is talking about the power that's working inside of us, and he says God's able to exceedingly abundantly of all we ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Well, you got to back up into verse 16. He says God would strengthen you with power in your inner man by His Spirit. So according to that, what's working inside of you, that being strong in your spirit, man, that strengthened with might, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask, according to that power that's working in you. So what God's able to do in me, what God's able to do in you, it's going to depend on what power we're allowing to work in us. Are we staying strong in the spirit? Are we staying built up? God's able to do more for those that are stay built up, stay strong in the spirit. See, He's able. It's not that He's playing favorites. It's just there's power available there. Amen. God does things by power. Jesus healed by power. I mean, remember that? Power went out of Him.
That's right.
Power went out of Him. We have to have power in you for it to go out of you. Right. It's the same thing in our life. If we're going to have deliverances and things like that in our own life, there's got to be power in us for it to go out. A lot of times we just think God just sovereignly just, you know, zaps us. Well, if that were the case, then everybody would be zapped, because God's no respecter of persons. But what He has done is He's put the ball in our court, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? See, it's like a game of checkers. It's your move. Till you move, we can't move. God's already moved. Now we have to move. We have to do something. He's given us power. You know, we used to have prayer meetings and pray, oh God, send the power. People pray that. Send the power, send the power. It's like, well, what happened on the day of Pentecost? What did he send? Didn't he send the power already? You know what I'm saying? We just need to walk in it. Amen. You know, we need to go. You know, Haggai talks about go up to the mountain and get some wood. You need to go up there and get some wood. Get some power. Spend some time with God. Get your spirit man strong. Amen. Oh, that's good preaching. Anyway, we need to do that. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at about four or five scriptures tonight if we have the time here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because you have to put things in their proper order, and that's what I want to talk about. You got to think right about life, and if you don't, it short-circuits God's power in your life. You know, God wants His power flowing, but we can do things to short-circuit it. Just like electricity. How many know you can short-circuit electricity, and it doesn't work right? Well, the same thing's true with God's power. People say, well, God's God, and He just does what He wants to do. Well, God is God, and in the end, He's going to have His way. But you got to realize right now, that's not the case. God's not having His way. If God was having His way, we wouldn't have one abortion in our country. We wouldn't have these things going. He's given the authority to men, and they can make their own decisions. He's given us a free will. So people will say, if God wants me to heal, I'll be healed. Well, you'll die believing that, because the one with the issue of blood could have said the same thing, and she'd have died in her bed. She could have said, well, if Jesus wants me healed, He'll come by and drag that garment by here. No, He's not coming by. He's out there in the street. Go get it. Amen. And same thing's true in our lives today. We got people, well, if God wants me to heal, well, He'll just heal me. You hear Him pray, God, heal him if it's Your will. Well, you better go find out what His will is if you're going to talk to Him. Oh, somebody help me now. See, this book is His will. This is the will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Read the book. Right? Well, yeah, but my denomination, I don't care nothing about your denomination or my denomination. Don't get offended, but I don't care. I don't care what they believe. I care what Jesus said. Amen. Amen. You know, I had a friend when I first got saved. He went to a church and they taught, you know, against the baptism in the Holy Spirit and, you know, speaking in tongues and all that. They taught against it, you know, and that's the way he was raised up since he was like 5 years old, man. That's what he'd been taught. That's the way he believed. But you know what? One day he told me, here's what he told me. He said, one day I was reading the book of Acts and he said, I saw it for myself. And got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Spoke with other tongues. Praise God. Why? Because the book of Acts. Well, I thought the Bible said it passed away. Well, that's what you get for thinking by yourself. Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says tongues shall cease, not has ceased. Huge difference between shall and has. They're preaching it today like they have. It doesn't say they have. There's not a scripture in the Bible that says they have. The scripture says they shall. Well, yeah, that means when the word of God comes, it says that which is perfect. Well, listen, the word of God is perfect, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Right now, we just see through a veil. We don't see everything, but there's a day Jesus Christ is going to show up, and the Bible calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And in those days, we'll see and know as we are known. At that time, I don't think we'll need tongues again. We're in the presence of God. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the Bible. First of all, your interpretation of the Bible isn't perfect. Mine isn't perfect. Nobody's is. The Bible's perfect, but our understanding of it still needs some help. We're still learning. Right? And so you just got to read these things. Well, yeah, but I was always taught they passed away. Well, you taught wrong.
That's right.
I said you were taught wrong. You got to look at the Bible for yourself. Yeah. Read it for yourself. What did Isaiah said? We may read the scripture after a while if we have time. Have you not known? Have you not heard?
Right.
Have you heard it? Do you know it? Not what somebody else told you. Did you find out about it? Amen. Glory be to God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. All one piece. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I read that verse because I believe this is significant, you know, that he says your whole spirit, soul, and body. I believe right here in this verse, Paul puts them in the order that we ought to put them in. Right. Not body, soul, and spirit. But yet, too many, you know, Paul talked about the church at Corinth, and he said you're carnal. You know what carnal actually means? It means really means, you break it down, it means body ruled, ruled by the flesh, fleshly minded. So he said, you're carnal, you're babes. So what happens is, you know, the world now, the world puts a body, soul, and they don't even think about the spirit. But they most of them just think about the body. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, and there's nothing wrong with some of these things as long as you keep them in their proper place. But, I mean, everything on, you know, advertising stuff is about the body. It's about what you wear, how you look. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was looking through, this was years ago. I was sitting waiting for something to get done on my car or something, a truck or something. And I was just sitting, and I was just looking through this magazine, and I come across this Dove soap, you know, ad. And this lady says, I have been, and I mean, her face was just perfect. I mean, there wasn't a wrinkle in sight. I see people, their pictures, you know, they're like 85 and they don't have a wrinkle in sight. It's called airbrush. You know, you see them in real life, you're like, well, who's this? Yeah. I used to have a friend in the ministry. He always used pictures at least 10 years younger. You know, but I saw this and the caption was, I've been a Dove user for 22 years. And I thought, you know, that woman is 23 years old probably. She's probably not a day over 23. Well, see, it's all geared towards the body, you know. And we need to take care of our bodies. God gave us our bodies. They're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to paint it, paint it. If you want to tuck it, tuck it. If you want to paint your roof, paint your roof. I don't think there's any problem with that. I'm not against that. But don't let that be your emphasis. What did Peter say? He said, you know, wives, don't let it be the outward adorning. The putting on, you know, of apparel and of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold. He wasn't telling them, you know, that they couldn't look nice, they couldn't dress up. If he was, he's saying, don't wear any clothes. His point was, he said, but let it be the hidden man, let your adorning be the hidden man of the heart, which is a meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. He wasn't talking about don't put on makeup like some of the old Pentecostals used to preach. You know, the guy could come in dressed like a king. The woman looked like she'd fell in the sewer. You just drug her out. Some of y'all haven't been there, but I've been there. Come on. Am I telling it? Well, all right. Maybe a little exaggerated about falling in the sewer, but look like a plain horse to me. I'll tell you this. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't let them dress up or cut their hair or anything, and it's just all baloney. That's not what Peter's talking about at all. He's just talking about don't let that be your emphasis. Don't let that be where your focus is at. Let your focus be on the inner man. Spirit, soul, body. Many people feed their you know, like I think it was F.F. Bosworth said this. He was a great healing evangelist. He said, many people feed their spirit three hot meals a day and they feed their body three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. Three hot meals a day to their body, one cold snack a week to their spirit. Show up on Sunday morning, get a little snack. I'm good for the week. I put my time in. And wonder why they're weak. Wonder why they're depressed. Wonder why life's beating them up. It's beating them up because your spirit's weak. I'm convinced a lot of Christians are depressed because their spirit's repressed. And they're depressed. They think it's depression. It's actually repressing. Their spirit means to be let loose and fed. Amen? You know, if you only feed your body one cold snack a week, it's not going to take long till you're going to be run down. Isn't that right, Pastor Jerry? Absolutely. He knows, man. He knows you got to have something every 40 minutes if you're going to be strong in this life. No, listen, help me understand. We ought to put the spirit first and the body last. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. When we get it out of line, when we get it out of whack, when we You see, I see this. Listen now, people will go, they don't think anything about going to a nice restaurant, spend a lot of money, buy a steak, a good steak. I do too. I like a good steak. You know, I'll pay good money for a good steak. If it's good, I'm good with it. But then you $20 for those CDs? My gosh. What do you think I am, rich? I think you got it backwards. I think you ought to be willing to spend more money to feed your spirit than you do to feed your body.
Amen.
Come on. Yeah. See, and people have funny thinkings about this. You know, it's like, well, you know, I wouldn't spend that money. I mean, man, you're talking like, oh, you know, $100 for that prosperity set. Well, you need some help in that area? Yeah, but... Huh, fine. If I had $100, I wouldn't need a prosperity set. You know what? You're the very one that needs to save up and buy it and find out what the Word has to say. I'm talking about true Bible prosperity.
Right?
Yeah. I'm a true Bible prosperity. Come on. Yeah. Amen. You know, I realize technology is changing and now you can get everything online, but, you know, for the most part. But you get my point, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like today it's just hard to sell your CDs when they can go to your website and listen to it. But you know what? Most people won't take the time to do that. I'm just appalled, man, when I go into a hospital and somebody's laying there with a disease and they're watching as the stomach turns. All my brats, the edge of night. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you feeding your spirit man the Word of God?
Amen.
I've actually had to go in there before and ask them to turn the TV off or turn it down or something so we can pray.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. I'll see what happens to Luke and Laura. I'll be with you in a minute. Well, when you're done, I'm gone. Because praying for you is not going to do any good because you got your priorities wrong. Luke and Laura need prayer themselves. I don't even know if they're on any longer. But anyway, they were a couple on one of those shows people were so concerned about and asked for prayer for them at church. Pray for Luke and Laura. They have marriage trouble. Well, who's Luke and Laura? Well, they're on, you know, the edge of night or whatever it was. It's like, you need some help. Come on, are you with me? Right? I mean, when you know all of the names of the Brady Bunch, you don't know all the names of the apostles, you got a problem. Your priorities are just wrong. What was it, Greg and Marcia and Jan and Shelby? Help me follow what I'm saying. You should know more about your Bible than you do about TV. Come on. You know, one of my friends in the ministry used to say this. I love this saying. He said, if your Bible's wore out, your life won't be.
That's right.
I thought, that's good preaching. If your Bible's wore out, your life won't be. If you've had a leatherette Bible for 20 years, you need some help. So you didn't laugh because you don't know what I'm talking about. If it's not real leather and it lasted you for 20 years, you're not opening it a month.
That's right.
Come on. Yeah. Unless you got a new Bible, there ought to be some loose pages somewhere. All right, I see some of you trying to move your pages around. How many are getting what I'm saying? I'm evangelistically talking right now, but it's still the truth. You need to have your Bible wore out. Amen? Amen. Now look at Timothy. We've got to close here in just a few moments, but let's go to Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just talking about keeping your spirit man strong. Keep him in strong. Put the emphasis on your spirit. Think about it. You know, I've said this before and I mean it. You know, you have to pay to go to one of the gyms here in town. You're going there. They're not doing anything for your spirit. They're not really doing anything for your soul. They're doing something for your body. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against it, but I'm just saying it's our thinking that needs to be changed. People will pay whatever the monthly cost is for that and not think a thing about it and come to church and not put a dime in, not even tithe. And if we charge membership, you'd quit. Well, we wouldn't do that. It's not scriptural. But I mean, why would you pay to go to a club to build your body up and not pay to get your spirit man fed? Now, God doesn't charge. You understand. I'm just using this. Come on, are you with me tonight? I mean, this. I'm just using this as an analogy that you can see how our thinking is warped. You know, people say, well, I don't go to that church because they talk about money too much. Well, the only reason you think they talk about money too much is because you're stingy.
That's right.
And you're not tithing. That's your problem. That's your problem. That's why it's sensitive to you. Right? You go to Walmart and walk out of there without paying to see if they don't talk about money. All that church wants is my money. What do you think Walmart wants? They're not there to just give to the poor. Amen, right? Are you with me now? Now, you understand God's things are free. And yes, there are shucksters, shysters, and so forth in the pulpit that are just after money. But God will deal with them. He'll deal with them. He'll take them out of their position. He told in Revelation, if your church doesn't straighten up, I'll remove the candlestick. I'll move your candlestick from its place. That doesn't mean the church would necessarily cease to exist, but the anointing and the spirit would be removed, and you'd just be a dead, nothing but a lion's club. Nothing against the lion's club. But I'm just saying you'd just be nothing but a club. That's what he meant. It could mean your church would cease. It could mean. But you know, there's churches that are going on in our city that just need to stop. They don't even need to be there because they have no spiritual value whatsoever. Come on. This is an attack. There's a lot of good ones too. I believe there's more good ones than bad ones, I hope. But I'm just simply saying, you don't have to believe like we believe to be a good church. You got to believe the Word of God. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe in salvation by the blood. Amen. The work of the Holy Spirit and sanctification. You got to believe in these things. That'll make you a good, strong church. If you don't believe in healing, you're just going to hurt for that, suffer for that. You don't believe in some of the blessings, that's just going to hurt you and your people. But at least you'll get them to heaven. They'll probably gang up on you when they get to heaven and find out what they had and you didn't tell them. Where's Pastor at? He's hiding. And well, thank God all's forgiven, right? In heaven, right? Amen. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look what Paul said to Timothy. He said, refuse profane, verse 4-7, refuse profane and old wise fables. In other words, just refuse the junk. Don't focus on the junk. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that... Now notice this, godliness has a promise of the life that now is. And that which is to come. All bodily exercise has promise of is the life that now is. Right? Bodily exercise is not going to help you in heaven. It's not going to help you spiritually. You probably need some bodily exercise. Some wouldn't hurt us. I get it. I bodily exercise. Not as much as I need to and not as much late as I have been. But I'm working on getting back into it. I bodily exercise. Why? Because, you know, you need to keep your body well, healthy. But Paul's telling Timothy, he said, man, spiritual exercise is the greatest exercise. Where it says, exercise yourself unto godliness, one translation says, keep yourself spiritually fit. Yes. Keep yourself spiritually fit. Well, that's what he's saying. Keep yourself fit. You know, you can get flabby in the natural, right? I mean, you know, where you get out of shape and so forth. You know what I'm saying? You can get out of shape. You know what I mean? You see people that, you know, and I'm not saying you have to be your perfect weight. Very few people. You know, you go to those charts, and I'm thinking, man, somebody needs to burn these charts. You know, if you're 5'7", you know, you need to be like 140. I'm thinking, you're a nut. 5'7", 140? That ain't happening. You're going to have to, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I just tell the chart, man. I'm not too heavy for my height. I'm too short for my weight. All right? That's the problem. So, you know, I'm not, you know, but I have seen people that got so out of shape, they couldn't hardly do anything. Couldn't hardly walk across the parking lot. They need some exercise. You can get out of shape spiritually.
Yes.
Amen. Where the least little thing taxes you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The least little thing depresses you, takes you out. Because life's full of problems. I don't know whether you know that or not, but if you faint in the day of adversity, you're out of shape. Your strength's small. So you have to keep yourself strong in the things of God, right? Amen. All right, now let's go to one more thing. I need to get going. I want to spend some more time here, but we're out of time. And so let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Let me read that, and then I think maybe one more, and we'll be done. But Isaiah chapter 40. Let me just talk to you just a little about keeping yourself in spiritual shape. I think you pretty well know you have to spend time in God's presence to keep yourself in shape. You know, whether that's His Word or fellowship with Him in prayer and worship. You know, just spending time with Him. But we've got to get ourselves fit. And I keep preaching on this, and I think I could preach on this every service if I didn't think, you know, it just literally wear you out. But it's on my heart, and it's been on my heart for a long time, that in these last days, there are some church people that aren't going to make it. And I'm not just talking about some that go to, you know, a church over here that doesn't preach much. I'm talking about people that go to churches like ours that are not going to make it. Because the Bible said in these last days, Jesus' parable, you're going to have extra oil. He said, in the end times, then in the end times, shall the kingdom of heaven be like 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And people are not listening to me. Because you don't think that will happen to you. But I take it seriously like it could happen to me. If I don't keep my extra oil, I'm telling you, this world's getting so filthy, it's getting so dirty, it's pulling people away from God. Amen. And people are departing from the faith, which means they're departing from the Bible and His teachings. And I'm seeing that. And it's not just happening, folks, in denominational churches, nominal churches. It's happening in Word of Faith, Spirit-filled, Pentecostal churches where people are being pulled away. And God keeps telling me about it. And I keep warning about it in these last days. Quit messing around. Get yourself in the house of God. Get yourself filled up with the Word. Get yourself filled up with the Spirit, because the bridegroom's coming. And there's going to be those that are foolish virgins that don't have extra oil. They're not going to be ready. They're not going to be ready when He comes. Amen. I don't want people to be that way. Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back soon, and I want to be ready when He comes. I want to have extra oil working inside of me where when He comes, I'm ready to go. Amen. I want the Word of God to move me. I want preaching to move me. I want God's Spirit to move me. I want to be alive. Amen? Not just caught up in the world. See, the church. Now listen, I believe that we the church should be involved in our nation and all that. But I'm just telling you, you got to watch what you allow to dominate your life. Because some of the church has gotten too political to the point it dominates their preaching, and that's all their people ever get. Should they know about that? Yes, they should be informed. But let's inform them. Let's move on and preach the Word of God. Right. Jesus had His things to say about politics. I mean, He called out the Herodians.
Yeah, He did.
Which they were a political party. Be just like me calling out the Democrats. Somebody ought to. Amen. I did one time, if you was watching online. What was the title of that one? Beware Leaven. All the leaven in the Democrat Party. You say, well, that offends me. Well, wake up. Do you think that God's for abortion? Do you think God's for same-sex marriage? Do you think God's for some of the damnable things that's coming out of that party? No, He's not. Wake up. There's leaven in it. And that's what Jesus said about the Herodians. He said, beware the leaven of Herod and the Herodians. He's preaching politics. So I'm not against that, but I'm just saying you could let that be your sole focus and take up your time, and your light's going to get dim. As important as that is, it won't feed you faith. Only the Word of God will. Right? Amen? And God, listen, you have to know what you know, there are people that God's raised up in the body of Christ that are anointed to go after that area. He has. But you have to know when you are and when you're not. And when you're not, if you go after it, you're going to lose your anointing. You better be informed, stay informed, but keep your face in the book. Amen. See, Jesus said men's hearts would fail them because of looking after the things which are coming on the earth. Right. Now that word fail, it could mean literally their hearts quit, but literally when you look at it in the Greek, it means to breathe out. Breathe out. Lose heart. Have you ever just had something go so wrong and all of a sudden you just went, ah. That's what Jesus is talking about. If you keep looking at the things that are coming on the world and don't keep your face in the book, one of these days you're going to go, ah, I give up. Amen. I see things going on in our nation, and sometimes if you watch it too much, it just gets to you. You think, oh my gosh, you got to get your face back in the book and see the glory of God. And let it cheer you up. So, but now listen now. See, I keep warning. I keep talking about this. You got to have extra oil in these last days. We're not living in the 70s now, folks. We're not living in the 80s. We're not even living in the 90s, folks. This is a rough time. And if you don't stay full of the Word, you don't stay full of things of the Spirit, you're going to get yourself in trouble. People say, there's no way, Pastor, I'd ever depart from the faith. Well, everybody that's departed from the faith has said the same thing. It just solely sucks the life out of you. Amen. Next thing you know, man, you're not where you need to be with God. That's not good. I don't know. I'm just going to keep warning about it. I hope it falls on ears that are hearing. But we just got to wake up, folks, that it could happen to us. We got to stay full of the things of God. Be hungry for the things of God. Isaiah 40, you got it? We'll close right here. Did you get something tonight? Verse 28, he said, Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no mind, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But notice, this is what I want to get to. This is such a good verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, when you look at this verse, this word, wait, it means to, I wrote it down, it means to bind together with the Lord. It means to gather together. It means to tarry. Remember what Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to wait? How did they tarry? Remember what Jesus said? He told his disciples, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Well, we know exactly how they tarried. It says they all gathered together in an upper room where they were praying. They were praying. They were doing spiritual things. Right? They were praying. They were fellowshipping with God. That's how they were waiting on God. That's how they were waiting on the Lord. So it comes back to what I said, spending time in His presence. Whether that's through prayer, worship, the Word, being in the house of God, just doing spiritual things instead of natural things all the time. One of the things, and we talked about tongues a while ago, and I know, you know, there's different mindsets about it. You just do what you want to do about it. Listen, I've been speaking in tongues since I was 21 years old, and it has done nothing but bless my life. I have found out things about the will of God praying in tongues. I found out things about my own life praying in tongues. I've been blessed. I've been prospered spiritually, physically, financially by praying in tongues. So you don't want to pray in tongues? Don't pray in tongues. But I'm going to pray in tongues. And I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Any man that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Jude said, but beloved, building yourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, how do you know that's tongues? I believe you can pray in the Holy Ghost in English. We used to have that argument. Well, maybe you can, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Paul said in Corinthians, when a man speaks in a tongue, when a man prays in a tongue, his spirit prays.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That sounds like praying in the Spirit to me. That's 1 Corinthians 14:14. If any man speak in an unknown, if any man pray in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. His understanding is unfruitful. Well, Jill, one time I was meditating that verse. I don't know if you've ever had one of those wow moments, but I had one of those wow moments. I've read that. His understanding is unfruitful. I thought, now wait a minute. Everything you do in life, you got to do with some kind of understanding. To get out of this church, you got to have some understanding. Not much, but you got to have some. Right? You got to know, you got to go to the door, right? To drive home, you got to have some understanding. Amen. everything you do, you've got to have some understanding. You can't do anything without any understanding. Amen? Well, there are some people that get real close. Amen. You know, there's those ultra crepidarians that, you know. Come on, you use big words. You don't know what that is. Ultra crepidarian. How many know what an ultra crepidarian is? It's someone that gives you an opinion about everything and knows nothing about it. But you got to have some understanding to do that. Right? So everything. Now, listen, I'm making a point. Everything you do is some understanding. So when I read that, Jill, one day I'm reading that and I'm thinking, If a man prays in tongues, his spirit prays, and the Amplified Bible says, by the Holy Spirit within him, which is scriptural and is true, his understanding's unfruitful. It hit me. Well, wait a minute. If I'm not using my understanding, I've got to be using somebody's understanding. So whose understanding am I using? If any man prays, and his spirit prays, Amplified Bible, by the Holy Spirit, I'm using the Holy Spirit's understanding. So when I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in tongues, Paul said, I'm using the Holy Spirit's understanding. I thought I'll take his over mine any day.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. So you're not going to talk me out of praying in tongues. I'm like Paul. I want to speak in tongues more than y'all. Yeah. Doesn't the Bible say that, in the church, I'd rather you speak five words with your understanding and 10,000 words at the time. You're right, that scripture says that, but read it. It says in the church. What does that mean? It means Paul was just talking about, look, if you're going to address people in the church, don't do it with tongues. That doesn't mean we can't all gather together and pray in tongues, sing in tongues. We're not addressing people then, we're addressing God.
Right, right.
If I'm trying to address you, we better have an interpretation if we're going to do it in tongues.
Amen. Right?
You ever been to a foreign country? Sounds like tongues to me. I got to have an interpretation. And I don't know why this is, but when you get in a foreign country and you're trying to communicate with somebody, you think if I just say it louder, they'll get it. No, they don't understand. They don't get it. We were at a restaurant one night. I've told this story, but it was so funny that night. We were at a restaurant. We spent two and a half hours at this restaurant, nice restaurant in Honduras, having a meal, really good steaks. And you were in this room by yourself, you know, just us that were on the mission trip, you know, the missionaries. And this waiter is waiting on us all night. And every time we wanted something, we would tell Katrina, Pastor Gary Walter's wife, we would tell Katrina, tell him that I need this. And she'd speak in Spanish to him, tell him what we need. That went on for 2 hours. And at the end of 2 hours, one of the guys said, tell him that I need this. And he goes, he probably can speak English. He goes, I can. He spoke great English. He let us do it the whole night. Like, you idiots, you gringos, you know. Amen. So that's what Paul's talking about. All the prohibitions on tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 are that don't try to use it as communication in the church. He said, if anybody gives a tongue in church, let it be interpreted or stop it. If there's no interpreter, he said, remain silent. Because we're trying to edify one another. Right? And me praying in tongues doesn't build you up. It builds me up. So I got to use it rightly. The Corinthians were using it wrongly. Paul didn't say don't do it. He said do it right. You're going to be in church. Make sure people are being edified. Amen. And he didn't, like some have tried to teach, even some spirit-filled tongue talkers say, well, you can't speak in tongues at church at all. That is not what he said. He said don't try to communicate that way. Did you get something tonight? So one of the ways we build ourselves up, one of the ways we keep our spirit strong, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. It charges you. When he says you're edified, it means charged up like a battery.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You get some power going. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.